Have you ever had a discussion at the conference table when someone responded to you with something starting with, "So what you're telling me is," and then they finished that with something that was so far from what you thought you'd just said that you were silenced? Sounds like the straw man cometh. Hey there, my name is Rox Bartel, your kick-ass coach, and this is a weekly podcast for emerging senior leaders. We seek to give you a leg up during your first 2 years in role to help you quickly master the art and practice of leadership. This is part 5 in the series on bias. If you're entering the series here, I suggest you go back and listen to episode 38 at least for the introduction to the series, and then you can listen to episodes 39 to 41 where we explore a myriad of different biases and how they impact your work as a senior leader at your own discretion. Quick recap of 38 though. Researchers and writers like Kahneman, Langer, McRaney, Senge, and the Neuroleadership Institute offer great stories and insights to help us mitigate the negative impacts our biases are having. And yet most of us fail miserably at breaking the hold that they have over us. The researchers at the Neuroleadership Institute argue we need to first accept that we are inherently biased and learn to label them. That would help us more easily recognize when they are imposing themselves. And then, of course, we want to develop strategies to attack them head on. And it's harder than it sounds. Impact Bank's diversity program includes work on bias, and we work with organizations and leadership teams to attack and learn approaches to maximize the opportunity that comes with diversity and develop strategies to minimize the damage caused by our inherent biases that keep our thinking small. It's been fascinating for me over the last 17 years of my career as I've immersed myself more and more in the research and application of diversity thinking in the workplace. And I've been able to see the shifts and changes as the research has evolved as well. In episode 38, we looked at the idea of bias broadly, and I shared a few definitions. Now, I have my favorite, as you've been hearing probably each episode, and I've been playing with it each time. So here's this week's variation. Biases are unconscious drivers that influence how we see the world. They are invisible air we walk through, exerting their influence outside of the conscious awareness. They are adaptive mechanisms evolved to help us make quick, efficient judgments and decisions with minimal cognitive effort. And as a result, biases can impact every decision we make. Okay, I know it's not as creative as last week's, but I'll try a little more next week. In episode 39, we explored confirmation bias in 40, anchoring bias, and in 41, the illusion of control. And today, we will discuss the bias known as the fallacy of the straw man. We have all done this, and we've all had it done to us. Usually, it silences people, and there are occasions when they actually dig their heels in even more firmly, and the argument is kicked up a notch. Sometimes it creates a really extreme reaction. My favorite way to describe what can happen is going down a rabbit hole. Because I am someone who loves a spirited discussion, I had to become very aware of when I was pulling people down a rabbit hole with me or when I was being pulled by another. Once I started to see it in my conversations with friends, I started to see how this had played out in my conversations in the workplace too. By the way, important to note that most people, except maybe internet trolls, don't do it on purpose. It comes out of a mixture of limiting beliefs and other biases that hold us small and closed. It's a way to change the nature of the other person's point in order to make it easier to win the conversation, rather than really taking an interest in understanding the other person's point of view. I think I may have actually learned this technique when learning the principles of debate. It comes out of our willingness to be more charitable to our own perspective while believing the other person's argument or perspective is silly. Just watch a political debate. You'll see how people exaggerate or misrepresent the other person's argument to make it easier for them to refute it. We trade accuracy for speed. It often comes from genuine misunderstanding, but still, it's very destructive for teams and for leaders who need to make good decisions. I remember a meeting with a team of my peers in 1998 when the issue of investing specifically in leadership development for women came up. Some of the guys got so mad at me, I remember them saying things like, "You see, there she goes. She wants to toss out all the capable men and build an army of women. You can count on Rocks to turn this whole place upside down." And Rocks, it's reverse sexism. You can't possibly think that we should give preferential treatment to the women who want to become managers. That's just blatantly unfair, and you should be ashamed of yourself. It was crazy for a few minutes, and I will admit, the first time it came up, I backed down far too easily. And that's the power of that straw man. Never again, though. Well, when I noticed it again, that is. That's the problem with the straw man. We rarely notice it in the moment. It's effective in derailing a discussion, and it puts people on the defensive, giving the perpetrator the upper hand, but ultimately not helping the relationship. And I have to admit, as I became more aware of it when it was happening to me, I also had to confront when I did it to others. It works, but it is never appropriate for a leader to bring this tactic to bear on their team. It shuts people down, and you will ultimately lose. By the way, I decided to take a different approach the next time the question of funding for a leadership development program uniquely designed for women came up at the conference table. When Randy, not his real name, brought up some of the same arguments as I described earlier, I responded something like this. "You're right. My goal is to build a group of women who can kick your butt and replace every last one of you. So another thing we could do is just kick all the men out of the program that have already started in leadership development, since they really don't fit my plans." At least by recognizing his ridiculous argument against investing in some of our amazing young women, I was able to point out how ludicrous it was to insinuate that I was trying to only invest in women. Randy and I made up later, and we got the funding for the program to invest in developing women for leadership. Leaders will do well to mitigate the impact of their own biases. And at Impact Bank, we help new leaders recognize the importance of monitoring the shadow you cast. Check out this week's blog post at www.impactbank.ca/coaching/blog, where I share more detailed examples highlighting the work of the straw man. Even one where I recognized when I used him to control my team. And we'll also outline a bias we often refer to as self-serving bias. You and I both know, as a senior leader, you're expected to be decisive and quick to action. And yet if you don't give yourself the time and space to apply the checks and balances of your own biases, they will steer you down the wrong path far too often. Taking more time will likely annoy people I know, and sometimes lead them to argue you are being weak or ineffective. Taking more time will likely annoy some people, and sometimes even lead them to argue that you are being weak or ineffective. In the long run, though, you will make better decisions, earn trust, and serve your constituency effectively and thoughtfully. Next time, are you making bad decisions about money? And what if it hurts your agency or organization? How much are your biases costing you? Don't miss it. I'm Rox Bartel. Make it a kick-ass week.